Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. I got to tell you, Tuesday after Labor Day is like the toughest day of the year for me. I love the summer and the beach, and the day after Labor Day for someone who lives in the Northeast is a tough one. I will also tell you the comedy news off the holiday weekend, kind of slow, even had a dip into the leftovers. However, I thank you for listening. Last week, I think, was the most listened to week of the podcast yet, so I appreciate that. Let's dive in. Conan O'Brien tweets, years from now, historians will look back on this period of American history and move to Canada. Mark Norman said, 2020 is the only time my therapist actually recommends living in the past. Larry the Cable Guy tweets, a sex study on rats found that rats who wore tiny polyester pants mated less than rats that didn't. From Complex.com, Dave Chappelle appears on Big Sean's 21-track album. There's a track 2 minutes 35 seconds long titled Story by Dave Chappelle. Dave tells some of his experiences in Sean's hometown of Detroit and his admiration for the rapper's father, James Anderson. During the intermission, Chappelle explains that Anderson once gave him a pep talk after he bombed a stand-up performance in Detroit. This from Complex.com. Sean spoke with Apple Music and said Chappelle said, I love your dad, man. I love your dad. And I was like, what? And he was like, bro, I love your dad. Actually, that was the first thing he said to me. I'm like, yeah, what's up? He's like, yo, I love your dad. And then he said, yo, I'm a big fan. Sean continued and said, when I told Dave I was working on the album for Detroit, he was like, bro, not only will I do the skit, I'll come out and do a show with you. You know, I'll come out and support you just because I believe in you. So I appreciate him for being on that level of humility when he's who he is. From Vulture, it turns out Danbury was mostly joking when they vowed last month to name their $110 million sewage treatment plant after John Oliver. Until the town makes it official, John Oliver is lightly holding $55,000 in charity donations for ransom, telling Danbury he would give it to another Connecticut town if Danbury doesn't come through with the John Oliver Memorial Sewer Plant. John said, don't Danbury this up. So the mayor has now agreed to name the plant after Oliver under one condition. The mayor declared in a Facebook video, you must come here to Danbury and be physically present when we cut the ribbon. And I got to tell you, $55,000 is a little light for someone in the 1%, but a deal is a deal. Now look, don't Oliver this up. Oh, that's so lame to just do the same joke back. Should you choose not to take us up on this offer? Well, I got to tell you, I'm already talking to the two Jimmies and to Noah. Also from Vulture, apparently Josh Gondelman spent a day being pressured into trying cocaine. Who was pressuring him? A bunch of comedians on Twitter. So the history here, comedian Matt Koff, a writer for The Daily Show and one of the writers behind the Trump Comedy Nerd Twitter account, has a long-running bit in which he tweets about cocaine. His earlier tweets were just general references to cocaine, but over the past several weeks, Koff has switched to simply asking over and over if he should try it. Since that interaction, support for Gondelman trying cocaine has been building within the comedy community on Twitter, including from Paul F. Tompkins, who created a change.org petition called Get Josh Gondelman to Shovel the Driveway. Vulture reached out to Gondelman, who gave them a statement saying, I'm very flattered that so many members of the comedy community have offered me counsel on and access to cocaine use, but I'm afraid that their enthusiasm is misguided. No matter how many signatures Paul F. Tompkins accrues on his change.org petition, it will not convince me to do hard drugs during Sukkoth with my friend Matt Koff in the men's room at Katz's Deli or any other place. But I will donate $1 per signature up to the goal of 1,000 signatures to the National Harm Reduction Coalition, which I hope my friends and bullies will take as a meaningful concession. And Gondelman did follow through on his promise and donated $1,000 to the National Harm Reduction Coalition. After the petition reached 1,000 signatures, Tompkins also donated $500 and told Gondelman on Twitter he will match his full donation, quote, after you and I do just a little bump. Beth Stelling told Splitsider she doesn't want to have to answer for male predators. Beth said, it's all kind of a blur and your mind oddly protects yourself, but a reporter brought up Louis C.K. and whether or not I felt safe at the Just for Last festival, basically hinting at the fact that I was public about my own intimate partner abuse and intimating that I would then have something to say about that. My response was, do you think when football players come off after a game, they're asked, how do you feel about Joe Paterno? Were you molested at any of the camps you were at? She's like, that's not what I'm saying, okay? But are you asking the male comics what they're going to do to make people feel safe in the green room? I guarantee you're not. For a long time, it was really tough for me to have these conversations because I was so triggered. And it's funny because I don't really identify with a lot of the rape culture terms. I think probably because I don't want to be associated with it. You don't want it to be your only thing at all. Who would? I'm a stand-up comic. I get plenty of attention on my own. Hannah Gadsby spoke to IndieWire and she says, I don't mind people not liking my work. Nobody can be everybody's cup of tea. That's just the glass of water. I don't think that everyone should love my work. I think that's a recipe for blandness, but when people try and justify why they hate it, they want the world to know they hate it. I find it really interesting. She said, it just comes down to basic misogyny, and that's what I went after. It seems like it was personal because I made it around the haters with Nanette, but it's really not. It could be any woman who sort of puts their head above the pulpit and recognizes the kind of stuff I was dissecting. In many ways, it did feel more dangerous because that's an understanding of queer in terms of sexuality and gender expression and coming out stories. Straight people have an understanding of what the opposite of the experience is, but neurotypical people do not think about the way I think. There's so much that people don't understand about autism, and also very few people on the spectrum get to speak for themselves in such a large platform. So to be there, I'm representing a huge spectrum. If anything, I want to broaden the scope of what stand-up is, actually. It's an amazing opportunity for marginalized voices to get up and say stuff, and that's what it's always been. But back in the day, a marginalized voice was just men who were different from other men. I'd like my work to show that stand-up can change and be something for different kinds of voices. For me, Johnny Mac, Douglas is my favorite special of the year, and I did not worship at the altar of Nanette like most critics did, but Douglas, my favorite of the year. That's your comedy news for today. Hopefully it'll pick up a little bit tomorrow. Subscribe and all that. You know the deal. See you tomorrow.